Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Okay, welcome to the show. It is Greeny here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
But you're not Greeny, though.
And you're not Hembo. Along with Chris Canty, Evan Cohen, in for Greeny and Hembo today. Michelle Smallman will be with us later in the show. And the three of us, you hear normally 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Time on Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio.
And normally you think about Russell Wilson with the Denver Broncos, but not so much anymore.
Do you think that you just actually came up with an interesting angle that was not actually the angle, but it's fascinating. When you're telling me when you're thinking of Russell Wilson, the first team that now comes to mind is Denver over Seattle?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because he's the face of one of the worst trades in the last 20 years in the National Football League. It was an abject failure, an abject disaster with the Denver Broncos. Like, Russell Wilson was one of those quarterbacks that was angling to have more power within the organization. He lost out of that power battle in Seattle between John Schneider and Pete Carroll, ended up getting traded to the Denver Broncos, got everything he wanted, complete with the office on the second level of the building outside of the locker room, which no player in the National Football League gets. And he ends up being a huge, huge disappointment, so much so that the Denver Broncos were willing to eat, what, $90 million in dead money in order to get rid of him.
That's amazing. I still think of him as a Seahawk. I still think about them going to two Super Bowls and winning one.
Yeah.
But everything you just said obviously is factually true. But now we have a new team for him. As last night, Russell Wilson signs a one-year, $1.2 million league minimum deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we are sitting at the set and the desk where Greeny does a show from every single day and where Get Up happens every single day. And there are many people, CeCe, at this desk, this exact location, that said, this dude would be sitting right here next year and he would not have an opportunity. And our very own Mike Tannenbaum, who joined us earlier today on Unsportsmanlike, at least acknowledged, hey, I'm surprised by this, because Mr. T thought, I could see him with the Jets as a backup to Aaron Rodgers, and that may be the best opportunity he gets. Your thoughts on Russell Wilson surprising many, signing a deal prior to free agency beginning?
Well, the value proposition is undeniable. You're going to get Russ at the vet minimum, which is like $1.2 million. Where's the downside for the Pittsburgh Steelers? It makes all the sense because Russ represents a clear and obvious upgrade over what you've gotten from Kenny Pickett. Hell, what you've gotten over the last several seasons at quarterback. Think about this. The Pittsburgh Steelers have had 25 passing touchdowns over the last 2 years. Russell Wilson had more than that in 2023 alone. So, I mean, it makes all the sense in the world to bring in somebody that's going to give you competent quarterback play. Say what you want about Russell Wilson, but the guy was top 10 in passer rating from a year ago. And when you consider the state of the Pittsburgh Steelers, knowing how good that defense is, you got to think the addition of Russell Wilson is going to help you in terms of being the difference in those handful of games that can determine whether or not you get into the playoffs, whether or not you're capable of going on a deep playoff run. For context, the Pittsburgh Steelers were 10-7 last year. In six of those seven losses, the Steelers' offense scored 13 points or less. I mean, Russell Wilson will help you do better than that in the way of productivity, not just in the passing game, but with your offense overall. And when you think about the weapons he's got to work with, Deontay Johnson, George Pickens at wide receiver, Pat Freiermuth at tight end, Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren in the backfield, it's hard not to envision a style of football that takes you back to what we saw in the early stages with Seattle with Russell Wilson in his career.
But if they're the same, basically what you're saying is if they're the same, if both parties are the same as they were a year ago, which obviously is not going to exactly happen that way, Russ needs to lead them to 14 points. Right? That's if 13 points was where they were going, if Russell Wilson can lead two touchdown drives and by accident they score a few more points with the way their defense is and specifically the way that coach coaches, like, you're not asking them to score 40 points a game. And this is where I get very excited about this as somebody that has supported Russ and thought he got somewhat of a, I don't want to say raw deal, but an unfair take from a lot of people on this. You walk into a season with the Pittsburgh Steelers at 9-8. Mike Tomlin will get you 9-8.
Yeah.
The players then, with the players obviously, they have to figure out, are we getting to 10 wins or 8 wins?
But more importantly, you walk into the building in Pittsburgh and there's not a leadership vacuum. They're buttoned up. They have leadership.
What do you mean by leadership vacuum?
Well, you have player leadership in the way of T.J. Watt and Cam Hayward. You have leadership at the head coaching spot with Mike Tomlin. There was none of that when Russ got to Denver. Nathaniel Hackett, give me a break. Who was the player leader for the Broncos at the time? Patrick Surtain was a puppy, and then Justin Simmons was a franchise tag guy. So, I mean, there really wasn't a whole lot of player leadership to speak of in that Denver Broncos locker room. There wasn't a lot of leadership, period, within that organization. So I think when you leave Russ to his own devices, you see what happened. The whole program went off the rails. But that's not going to be the case in Pittsburgh. Like, there's not going to be this whole, you know, Broncos country, let's ride. It's not going to be that in Pittsburgh. You already have a culture. The Steelers already have a brand, and it's winning football games in December, in January, and on into the postseason. And that's what Russell Wilson has to adhere to. He's either going to fit in or fit out. And guess what? If it ends up being the latter, then his mortality as a starter in the National Football League is over.
Why do you think so many people got it so wrong on this? Because it's not like we didn't know what the – oh, wait a minute. I do have breaking news. This is going to happen a lot during the course of the show. Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL insider. You're going to love this one. Bengals franchise wide receiver T. Higgins has requested a trade. Per sources, Higgins loves Cincinnati and hoped to be with the team long term, but is disappointed that the team has not had any talks about a long-term contract extension since March of 2023. He's ready to move on to a new team.
Well, they have no intention of paying him top-flight receiver money, right? They're not paying him $25, $26 million a year. Not when they got the Ja'Marr Chase contract coming up. So this is a placeholder for the Cincinnati Bengals in order to move T. Higgins to another place and allow that team to pay him. That's what they're going to be forced to do. As much as they want to keep that core of players around them, they're just not going to be able to afford it. Think about it. You can't pay your quarterback top of the market money and then pay both of your wide receivers top of the market money, right?
Look at the Chiefs.
You can't do it.
Yeah. You may not even be able to play one, ultimately.
Well, you're going to pay Ja'Marr Chase. You're right. Not going to break that up. Like, those two guys play together in college. You're not going
to
break that up.
No, I understand that. But it's proven to be, when you have an elite quarterback like Cincinnati has, it's proven to be you get one of those guys. You cannot get two. And in some cases, like Kansas City, and even Buffalo to some extent in the future, we think maybe with Steph Diggs, it just may be we're going to give you two Bs.
I can't have $100 million a year in my salary cap in three players. Not
at that position.
Not at those positions. Like, right. I can't have my quarterback making $50 million a year and then both my receivers combining to make $50 million a year. I can't do that.
So you've had a destination you have liked for T. Higgins for weeks now. Since the franchise tag was put on T. Higgins, you have given a destination. What is that destination and what would you like to see?
The Chicago Bears. Why? The Chicago Bears. I just think it makes all the sense. If you're breaking in a young quarterback with the first overall pick, give him every chance to be successful. They traded for DJ Moore last year. That made a lot of sense. But then add another guy like T. Higgins. I think those two guys complement each other well. DJ Moore is great at catch and run opportunities. We've seen that guy take smoke screens to the house for 70, 80 yards. But then T. Higgins is that down the field threat, the guy that you can throw the ball 60, 70 yards down the field, and he's going to come down with those 50-50 balls in one-on-one coverage. I love, absolutely love the fit of T. Higgins with the Chicago Bears. And if you're Chicago, knowing that you have two top 10 picks, you're going to take the quarterback with the first overall pick. Why not slide down from number 9, acquire multiple picks, and then use one of the picks that you acquire through trading back in order to go get T. Higgins? I don't know that it's going to cost a first-round pick. I don't think it will, because you got to then turn around and pay T. Higgins. But I could absolutely see a world where they trade a second-round pick for T. Higgins. Now, currently, they don't have a second-rounder, which is why I'm suggesting that they trade back with number 9. They also have Justin Fields floating out there, and they're going to trade him. We'll see what that deal ends up fetching. But I love T. Higgins, a proven commodity at the receiver position, being paired with DJ Moore for Caleb Williams or whoever they take with the first overall pick.
CeCe, what if I said to you that the Bears said to the Bengals, we'll take our 9, we'll flip-flop with you, you give us 18, we flip, you give us T. Higgins?
Would you do that?
I don't. Why, where's the downside in that if you're the Chicago Bears?
So you already have one, right? That part of this is we're establishing you're taking one. If you're Cincinnati, it's okay, we're giving up a number two receiver to move up nine slots. Kind of makes sense for both parties maybe in that spot.
And here's the great thing for Cincinnati. You can add to your offensive line in that range. If you move up to that position, if you move up to nine, you might not be able to get Joe Alt, but you could probably get Olu Fashanu. You can get the kid from Oregon State. There'll be other tackles that are there to be had. To me, it makes a ton of sense.
That may be too much to give up considering you have to pay him, right? If you're the Bears, like you're going to have to pay him a big deal. But the Bears right now.
But you still have your first round. You still have another first round pick.
Right, right. The Bears' highest non-number one pick and non-number nine pick is in the third round. They don't.
Yeah, 75, I think it is.
Yeah. So they would have to either give up a 25 second or, as you said, move down from nine to something, pick up extra picks, whatever it is, that would be the move. Again, if
so you're saying that's too pricey for the Chicago Bears to slide back for T. Higgins? Because I don't think it is. Like if you're telling me I'm getting a quarterback and I'm getting another receiver to support my young quarterback in the passing game, then why would you want to use number nine to draft? I mean, the only reason you would think to use number nine to draft a receiver rather than to trade for T. Higgins is to keep the math low in terms of the contract. But you got cap space if you're Chicago. Like, you went into this offseason, I think you had the second or third most cap space of anybody. Now, you've since used some of that cap space to pay Jalen Johnson, which makes sense. But you've locked up, you know, Pro Bowl caliber players on all three levels of your defense over the last 6 months. You paid Tremaine Edmonds in free agency once upon a time. You paid Montez Sweat when you traded for him. You got Jalen Johnson locked up. Now you got to focus on the offensive side of the ball and doing things to support Caleb Williams. And to me, trading for a proven commodity in T. Higgins, contract be damned, makes all the sense in the world.
All right, tell me how good T. Higgins is and what a team. Let's take out the Bears for a second. Like, how good is this guy? He was a number two receiver, obviously, for the Bengals, but that's just because they have a top two or three receiver in the sport in Ja'Marr Chase. How good is he, and how much would you be willing to give up if you were another team?
T. Higgins is phenomenal. I mean, you're talking about a Pro Bowl caliber player, and this is a guy that does a lot of work when it comes to contested catches. And to me, that's the impressive part of what he brings to the table. But he's also a bona fide deep threat. Like, he's a guy that's going to be able to take the top off of a defense, and he's a guy that's going to be able to take advantage of consistent one-on-one coverage. And thinking about what he did, his role in that Bengals offense, when Ja'Marr Chase was double-teamed, when you had a corner and a safety top in Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins would do damage. So he helps to be able to give you productivity because he's going to be able to win those one-on-one matchups, especially downfield. And that's going to be great for a young quarterback. He has a huge catch radius. This is a big-framed receiver, huge catch radius. So to me, it makes all the sense in the world to go out and get a guy like this, especially if this is a guy that wants to get to a better situation. And now, it's hard to say that it's better than Cincinnati with Joe Burrow, but he wants to get paid too, which is why it makes sense. So I think Chicago Bears with Caleb Williams, DJ Moore, T. Higgins, Cole Kmet, and that offensive line, I think all of a sudden now you're talking about a team that actually has the potential to contend in the NFC North. I know that sounds crazy, but when you look at the odds of all the different divisions, the odds for the NFC North are more closely contested, 1-4, than any other division in football. It's not as far-fetched as one might think in terms of the Chicago Bears getting this thing turned around and going from worst to first in that division.
It is Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Chris Canty, Evan Cohen, in for Greeny and Hembo today. Cam has put, our producer has put some other teams in there for T. Higgins. And if you're just tuning in, Adam Schefter has said that T. Higgins, wide receiver, Cincinnati Bengals, has now asked for a trade. He was franchised previously. So other teams that we have in there, which one jumps out at you that, yes, I'd make a move for this guy? The Jets, the Packers, the Ravens, the Bills, and the Texans. I would say for me, the Packers, I would not do that.
Yeah, the Packers don't need to do that.
They don't need it. They have
young receivers. The Texans would be great. I mean, right? Like, you're looking at it. They got money to burn. C.J. Stroud's on a rookie deal. Why not go out there and fortify that team? Like, have T. Higgins with Nico Collins? I mean, that makes a lot of sense down there.
Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance. Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com for more information. All right, so we know Russell Wilson is a member of the Steelers. The domino effect of that signing? We will discuss it next. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by.
Greeny, the podcast.
It is Greeny here on ESPN Radio, along with Chris Canty, Evan Cohen, in for Greeny today. If you're dealing with a dead battery, head to AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services for free, of course, battery testing, free battery charging. Their free battery testing can help you know if you need a new battery or not, or if you're in need of a fresh charge. And if you do happen to need a replacement battery, they can help with that too. And they're the only place you can find proven, tough, Duralast batteries. So next time you're having battery trouble, head to AutoZone, your battery solution and America's number one battery destination.
Russell Wilson signing with the Steelers.
Russell Wilson doesn't go anywhere that he doesn't think that he isn't going to be the starter. Now, he's going to have to go and earn it.
Don't be surprised if you see Russell Wilson out there cooking and saying, Steelers fans, let's ride.
That's one of the first conversations Mike Tomlin needs to have with Russ.
About Wiz Khalifa and black and yellow?
No, but we don't need any corny taglines or any slogans from him. We don't need a Broncos country, let's ride. We don't need the Go Hawks at the end of every interview. Hey, bro, all of that branding stuff that you've had in your past stops, leave that at the door.
Bubba and I were wondering what the Steelers equivalent of Broncos country, let's ride would be.
I don't know.
That's a.
I'm a little bit distracted
right now.
Do you smell the French fries and ketchup in here?
Yes, I do.
Where is that coming from? Oh, over there. Okay, because I could. I'm very distracted by the French fries and ketchup. We've been here.
You're such a fat kid at heart. Because you were looking for it.
Yeah, such a fat kid at heart. Brandon, who's amazing, is part of the Greeny team here.
Brandon's eating?
No, Brandon's not eating, but Brandon also thinks that I look like I'm 50 years old, which I really don't think I look like I'm 50. Not that being 50 is... Why are you looking at me like that? You think I look 50? I'm 2 years older than you.
No, I think you act like you're 50, though.
Oh, I act way older.
You act 70.
Yeah, exactly. You
way
act
older
like
than
you're 50.
That.
Yeah, 50 is generous.
50 is young.
If the speed limit is 55, this guy's driving 45. Like, that is Evan Cohen.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I think I act more like I'm 90. What the Steelers version of Let's Ride would be, I don't know.
Bubba keeps saying Let's Melt or Let's Smelt.
Let's Mine?
Steelers County, Let's Mine.
I don't know. What is the version
Doesn't
of
Doesn't roll off the tongue quite as well as
no.
Let's Ride.
No, but
here's the thing. CeCe, go deeper on this because CeCe's onto something with the assumed and presumed content and context of the first meeting with Tomlin and Russ. You think this conversation was literally had?
Yeah, I think less is more for Russell Wilson at this stage of his career. And I'm not just talking about pass attempts on the field. I'm talking about the overall image and branding that Russell Wilson has done throughout his time in the NFL. I just don't think the Pittsburgh Steelers are concerned with any of that. The Pittsburgh Steelers are not a platform for Russ to amplify his individual brand. The Pittsburgh Steelers is a brand that is accustomed to doing high-level winning. Like, we win games December, January, on into the postseason. That's what everything needs to begin and end with. It shouldn't be about Russell Wilson branding himself to the Pittsburgh Steelers fans. The way you brand yourself in Pittsburgh is just win football games. And so I think that has to be an understanding going into this presumed marriage that is the 2024 season between Russ and Pittsburgh.
All right, so today at noon Eastern time, the legal tampering period begins, and Field Yates, ESPN NFL reporter, had a few rules and regulations for today. So basically what that means is teams can engage with agents at noon Eastern time. Deals can be agreed to but not finalized. No deal can become official until after 4 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday. Teams can speak to players who represent them without an agent until Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern. And jersey swaps allowed on Twitter, but players can change their minds. So no Photoshop. Is he joking about this? No Photoshop.
Yeah, official. I think so.
Yeah. So basically, we're going to see a lot of the jersey Photoshop kind of things there. Now, let's talk about what this means in terms of the quarterback dominoes. So we know that Russell Wilson is a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. We know that Baker Mayfield over the weekend re-signed a three-year, $100 million deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But CeCe, what everyone is waiting for is Kirk Cousins. That is kind of the biggest domino to fall. Where do we think he's going to go?
I think Kirk Cousins is going to the Atlanta Falcons. And right now, the Falcons are the odds-on favorite to land him at plus 200. Which equates to 33% chance of him being able to go there. Next in line is the Las Vegas Raiders at plus 350, and then the Minnesota Vikings at plus 450. So, I mean, there's a lot of competition for Kirk Cousins' services, but because his wife is from the Atlanta area, because of the weapons that Atlanta has on the offensive side of the ball, the understated offensive line that Atlanta has, and then, of course, a defense that's trending toward being top 10, I think Atlanta is a great fit for Kirk. And here's the most important thing when thinking about where he's going to go. Atlanta gives him a chance to compete because the NFC South is the lowest of low bars to clear in the NFL as far as divisions are concerned. Like, if you're Kirk Cousins, if you stay at Minnesota, you still got to deal with the Green Bay Packers and the Detroit Lions and the Chicago Bears, which are up and coming. If you go out to the Las Vegas Raiders, you got to deal with Justin Herbert, with Jim Harbaugh, and Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. So, if he signs with the Atlanta Falcons, they are the presumed favorite to win that division, no matter what else happens this offseason.
So let's talk about who's left then. So if we have, let's just play out Cousins in Atlanta. We have Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh. We have Baker Mayfield in Tampa. That would leave an opening in Minnesota, right?
Mm-hmm.
That would leave an opening, we think, with the Raiders, because we don't necessarily think they're going to go in with Aiden O'Connell as their starting
quarterback. Nah, that ain't happening.
And so those are the two biggest openings non-draft, right? So if you leave the Bears and you leave the Patriots, or the Commanders and the Patriots to the side, what do we think about the – and Denver. Denver also, unless you think they're going to go with Jared Stidham, where do we think these teams – like, where does Minnesota go? What are you doing if you're Minnesota if you lose Kirk Cousins?
Well, that's where it becomes interesting, right? Because not all of these teams are going to get the quarterback that they're targeting in the draft. So that's where Justin Fields reemerges in the conversation. Because even though he might not have been somebody that they've prioritized to this point in the calendar, I think he would if a team realizes that they're going to miss out in the veteran quarterback sweepstakes, and they might not be in the range to draft the quarterback that they like the most at the top of this year's NFL draft. So it just makes sense that Justin Fields will land at one of those places. And I would probably say Minnesota would be the obvious one. We haven't really heard a lot about their contingency beyond Kirk Cousins, but you know there is one. And based on where they're drafting, you would think that that would be a place where Justin Fields could try to make the most and salvage his career as a starter in this league. Now, the tricky part becomes Minnesota being in the same division as the Chicago Bears. We rarely see that happen. But, I mean, this is an unusual circumstance where a team has a starting quarterback, but they also have the number one overall pick. So I think that desperation, knowing that Fields and Caleb Williams can't coexist in the same organization, could lead Chicago to make a decision sooner rather than later to trade him and potentially go to a division rival.
Is there an argument that Minnesota and Denver respectively should start selling off pieces? I mean, when you look at what's happening here, so if Minnesota loses Kirk Cousins and the option is Justin Fields, but we're not even sure that they can get Justin Fields because Chicago may not want to trade him in division, right? And then we look at some of the other things around, which you just pointed out, which I agree with. The NFC North is on the rise. Detroit was in the NFC Championship game last year. The Packers, a lot of people are going to pick to go to the Super Bowl. And if Caleb Williams is what we think Caleb Williams is going to be, the Bears are actually set at the position that they've literally never been set at since your guy, Sid Luckman, at quarterback. And then in addition, Denver, they're obviously strapped in terms of the cap because of Russ. They just traded away Jerry Jeudy. They have other pieces that they could trade away that maybe possibly could get them some value. Is there an argument for both those teams to tank?
I'm not tanking when I'm paying my head coach $18 million a year. That ain't going to happen. So let's take that out of the equation for the Denver Broncos.
That would be Denver.
Yeah, Denver's not going to do that. So that brings us to Minnesota. I guess you could make the argument or you could have the conversation, but you're not trading away Justin Jefferson. You're not getting rid of Jordan Addison. You just paid T.J. Hockenson. What are you thinking about getting rid of?
Well, but then
Christian Darrisaw, you're not moving on from him. He's one of the best left tackles in the league.
Okay, so then is it fair to be extra critical of Minnesota then? Just meet his price. His Cousins. I mean, you just said, hey, they actually have young talent here. They have a young head coach that you've said you like in Kevin O'Connell. And you think and Brian Flores on the defensive side is a very good coach. Like, they seem to be pointing in the right direction. So then what are they hesitating with the quarterback?
Well, I think they're looking at the sample size that they have from Kirk Cousins, what he's been there 6 years, I think it is, something like that. And you're talking about a guy that has only won, what, one playoff game? So, that's the part. For all of the money that they've paid out to Kirk Cousins, over $100 million, there hasn't been a lot of high-level winning. And on top of that, you're talking about a guy that's in his mid-30s that's coming off of an Achilles injury. There's a little, not skepticism, but there's a little trepidation about committing to him in the way that these other teams that are desert-thirsty for a quarterback are willing to commit to. And the Minnesota Vikings don't like to structure contracts that give guaranteed money to players beyond the first year. They made that exception with Kirk Cousins. They just made that exception for T.J. Hockenson. That's seemingly a sticking point for Justin Jefferson and his new deal. So I think Minnesota is in a position where they're saying for the money, it might not be a bad thing to reset at the quarterback position overall and go in a different direction.
This is fascinating because it seems like what you're saying is going to happen. It seems like he is going to go to Atlanta. And that leaves Minnesota without a quarterback and with weapons, as you just said.
A lot of weapons.
A lot of weapons. That's fascinating. All right, there were a lot of moves that obviously happened over the weekend. We're going to get to those in a second. Greeny is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your motorcycle, RV, boat, ATV, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com. Now, let's go to Cam. Cam's going to give us a move that happened over the weekend. We got to grade it.
All right.
Cam, what do you have for us?
We're going to start easy. The defending two-time Super Bowl champion Chiefs, Chris Jones, five-year deal, $95 million guaranteed. Mahomes is back. Andy Reid is back. Travis Kelce is back. Now they lock up Chris Jones. Chris Canty, what grade do you give this deal?
Oh, it's an A. I mean, you knew it was going to be expensive. You wasn't going to get Chris Jones on the cheap. The guy saved you two touchdowns in the Super Bowl. I mean, he's been a productive player. What is it, 75 and a half sacks in his career? He's an absolute monster, one of the best defensive linemen in the game. He plays defensive tackle. You can kick him out the defensive end. 5 years, $158 million. It's going to make you blush, but you also know that when you're competing at a championship level, you've got to have pass rush, and this guy gives that to you in spades.
I think it's an A also. I mean, how is it not? You're keeping your core together. It gives you insane flexibility moving forward, not necessarily financial, but it gives you flexibility basically at this point to sit there and say, as long as we have these guys, as long as we have Mahomes and we have Chris Jones and we have Andy Reid and we have Travis Kelce, we can figure out the rest. And while that may be short-sighted, hey, that's only four or five guys. Guess what? Those four or five guys are enough to win a title times three. So I love it. Hey, no brainer.
All right, Baker Mayfield. So the Bucs get Mike Evans back, and now Baker Mayfield is back in Tampa. A three-year deal, $100 million, $50 million of it guaranteed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Evan, grade this deal.
I think it's a B. I think both sides are like, hey, this makes a lot of sense. Baker Mayfield earned this money. Tip of the cap to him, by the way. Baker Mayfield kind of flamed out a little bit in Cleveland, was awful with the Panthers, out of nowhere was with the Rams and started that, what was it, a Thursday night game or a Saturday night, whatever it was, and actually was pretty decent in that game with Sean McVay. Takes a prove-it deal with Tampa where he wasn't even definitely going to be the starter. He had to beat out Kyle Trask, replacing Brady. I mean, we forget the fact he replaced Brady, and Brady was unbelievable, as we know, with Tampa. He had a great year. But if we're going to be critical of, hey, the Steelers, are they really going to win a Super Bowl with Russ? Or, hey, you know, what's Minnesota doing at quarterback? Like, are they going to win a Super Bowl with Baker Mayfield? I don't think so, but Baker Mayfield has made himself into a starting quarterback. Makes sense for both sides for now. I'll give it a B.
Yeah, I mean, the structure of the contract is what we all have to lock in on because it says 3 years, $100 million. But what this really is, let's see what it is after 2024, because in 2025, only $10 million of the salary is guaranteed. So, I mean, I think this is a situation that makes sense for both sides. We're going to pay you. We're going to find a way to lower the hit on what it would otherwise be under the franchise tag. We didn't have to go down that road. We decided not to do that to you, but we kept you in-house. And it's a nice windfall for Baker Mayfield. It gives him a chance to resurrect his career. Now he's firmly entrenched as the guy in Tampa, at least for the next year.
Big moves in Cleveland. The Browns trade two late-round picks for wide receiver Jerry Jeudy. Canty, let's grade this trade for Cleveland.
I'm going to give this trade a C+.
Ooh.
And the reason why I'm so down on the trade is because it reeks of desperation. Like, I have no illusions on what this is. I don't know that the Cleveland Browns are going to sign Jerry Jeudy to a long-term contract. I think this is a lease with an option to buy. And depending on how this year goes, is going to determine what Judy's long-term future is in Cleveland. But what this does is show me that there is a clear sense of urgency in the organization to do high-level winning with the Deshaun Watson contract. I don't think there's a general manager, head coach tandem in the league that's under more pressure than Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski, and that's why I say this move reeks of desperation. They're trying to make it work with a quarterback that they're still on the hook for nearly $130 million.
I'll say it to B, just because when I looked at the numbers for Jerry Jeudy, I couldn't believe, and I know he hasn't been with Russ at Russ's best and hasn't been with great quarterbacks. He's never had 70 receptions. He's never had 70 receptions in a season. That's not asking that much for like a go-to guy at the wide receiver position, but I understand why the Browns did it. I have no issue with the Browns doing this. They're a win-now team, and they felt like they could add value. I will say, from a Broncos perspective, they're doing what I think they should be doing, which I know you said, you know, you're paying a coach $17, $18 million. They're not going to do this. They ain't winning anytime soon. So if you can get multiple picks, you could find a wide receiver in the fifth round that could give you what Jerry Jeudy has given you. Now, the hope is, and this is where I know we differ, CC, I think that Deshaun Watson can be league average quarterback this year, 16th best overall. You fairly are like, well, I've never seen that with him in a Browns uniform. Why am I assuming that? So I think his numbers go up with Cleveland. But if you're Denver, you can find a fifth-round pick to give you 54 catches. You just can. That's not that much. I'm not smart with math, but how many is that per game? Like four, if that's?
Yeah.
Next one, Cam.
Five-year deal, $98 million. That's for Justin Madubuike, the emerging superstar for the Ravens. Chris Canty, I know you love this one. Grade this deal.
Oh, I'm going to give this deal an A. And here's the reason why. You got to take care of your own. He's a player that they drafted, I believe, with the second-round pick, and he's grown into an all-pro performer. And if you're the Baltimore Ravens, this is the guy that has been most consistent in terms of being able to pressure opposing passers. And to do that from the interior is damn hard in the NFL. So I love the move for the Baltimore Ravens. It gives them a cornerstone piece along with Kyle Hamilton to build around on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, they've got Roquan Smith in the middle of it, taking care of one of the guys up front, especially when you're in your window, makes all the sense in the world.
I'm going to give it an A because he said it was an A. I mean, you're the former defensive lineman for the Ravens. If anyone can assess a defensive lineman for the Ravens contract, I would hope it's you.
That would be funny if Canty was like, this is an A as my former team and the former position I played. And you were like, I'm going to give it a B-.
Yeah. Well, I would. Not great. I would. Don't worry. I'm not afraid to do that. But with this specific one, I'll
but
go.
But you know what? You know what also makes it an A? Look at what Justin Madubuike got on average annual value relative to what Chris Jones got. I know that they're not the same players, but it's not like they're not in the same class. They're still all pros, right? And think about it. Chris Jones is making $31.75 million a year. Justin Madubuike, what is he making? $26 million a year?
So just because he hates when I do this, I'm going to do it. What would you make if you were playing today?
I don't want to talk about it.
Coming up, the big QB domino we just referenced could fall as soon as 90 minutes from now. We will get to that coming up. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Steelers country, let's manufacture.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Greeny, the podcast.
It is Greeny on ESPN Radio. Along with Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Michelle Smallman will join us in a little bit. Of course, you hear the three of us each and every weekday, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern, on Sportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio.
Shameless plug.
No, there's a lot of shame in there. I'm going to plug as much as I can. Greeny and Hembo want to give us this platform. We're going to promote the hell out of our show. Why would we not? All right, we're also going to promote this. Our old friend here at ESPN, Diana Rossini of The Athletic now, has just tweeted, CeCe, Kirk Cousins will hit free agency and begin discussions with Atlanta as soon as the tampering window opens in 90 minutes, per sources. That means he's a Falcon, right?
That deal gets done today. And there were some reports out there that Kirk Cousins' family was looking into transitioning to the Atlanta metro area. So I just think with his wife being from down there, with the fit being so obvious, and with Raheem Morris saying what he said at the Combine – about the quarterback position and what they got last year relative to what it takes to win, I just think that all signs point toward Atlanta being very aggressive in landing Kirk Cousins. I would be shocked if they don't get him.
Guesstimation on numbers? What are we looking at? How many years?
I mean, it's free agency. So, I mean, you're talking about them paying a premium for the player. It's probably going to be sticker shock. Like I said, the numbers going to make you blush. I would say it's going to be in the high 40s. High 40s, I would say maybe $47, $48 million a year. I think so, it's in that ballpark.
Let me ask you a question about Atlanta, because you know during the season I was saying one of the guys that I would look at hiring as head coach was Raheem Morris. I thought the resume he had was so perfect for a second chance. Been a head coach before, but young enough to not be outdated in terms of thought.
Yep.
Coached defense his whole life, which got him to be a head coach. After he was fired, actually started coaching offense, which I thought was brilliant in a way of just cross-training, not calling plays, but coaching on the offensive side of the ball. Worked for McVay. He should be a head coach in this league. That all said, if they're going to go and sign Kirk Cousins and they're trying to win now, what was the turnoff with Belichick? It doesn't make sense to me. Raheem Morris is the guy that you're going to want over 5 to 10 years. Belichick is the guy you're going to want maybe over 3 to 5 years. You're going to sign Kirk Cousins, that's a 3 to 5 year proposition.
Yeah, I hear where you're coming from, but it's not just the owner that's making this decision. It's the general manager, Terry Fontenot, and it's their president of operations, Rich McKay. So, I mean, I think those individuals were a little bit concerned about how Belichick does business. Remember, Gerard Mayo said when he took over that the New England Patriots weren't going to operate in silos. Like, people were going to be collaborative in their approach, which would intimate that Bill Belichick was operating in a silo. And I think that makes a lot of people uncomfortable, which is why you go with Raheem Morris over Belichick. Of course, there's going to be interest. He's one of the winningest coaches of all time. But I think – based on this generation of athlete and Belichick's approach in comparison to Raheem Morris, but then also how Morris relates to other decision makers within the organization, is what laid the groundwork for him to get the nod rather than Bill Belichick.
All right, so when we look at this situation now, obviously if we're assuming that domino is going to fall.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, let me just read something else here. Kevin Seifert, ESPN Vikings reporter, has just tweeted at Seifert ESPN. Vikings have known that Kirk Cousins was going to go through a full process in free agency. That means hearing offers. They've still tried to sell him on returning, but as Kevin O'Connell said at the Combine, he's earned the right to be a free agent.
That's spin. That's spin. What that's saying is we got levels to this. We're not going to go where Atlanta's going to go in order to try to re-sign Kirk. We said all the right things publicly that we want him back, but we're not going to pay him the kind of guaranteed money that these other places are going to pay him. That's what they're telling you. We like him, don't love him. The Atlanta Falcons are in love with Kirk Cousins, and they're going to show him as much with the bag they're going
to
give him.
So that also means, just cut to the chase on this, that means the Vikings think the Falcons are making the wrong move. That, hey, you're going to sign him for all these years. He's not going to be worth that much for as many years you're going to have him. That's kind of what they're saying. Because, I mean, you look at those two rosters. Are they that much different? Do you think
Yes, they are.
The Falcons are that much better?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes,
okay.
They're that much different. The Falcons have a good offensive line. The Falcons have weapons. They got Drake London. They got Kyle Pitts. They got Bijan Robinson. They got a really good running game. And their running back room has a lot of depth to it. Then you got a defense that was, I think, 11th in points allowed last season. So, I mean, this is a team that's on the upswing. They got a lot of talent on both sides of the ball.
So how many teams in the NFC would you say right now, if we're going to pencil in Cousins to Atlanta, which now it seems like it's getting more towards pen than pencil mm-hmm. at this point, and we're assuming health, how many teams in the NFC are definitively better than the Atlanta Falcons in your mind?
Definitively better?
The Niners?
I'm going to go five. I'm going to go five teams definitively better. Four to five teams, yeah.
And they would be?
Well, that's actually, I don't even know if it's that many, though, Ev. I mean, you're saying definitively. I mean, there are five teams that I would say better, but definitively, head and shoulders above them? I don't know, man. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys, I'll give that nod to them. The San Francisco 49ers, although I do think they'll take a step back this year. I mean, Detroit. The Detroit Lions, and that's about the list.
Packers?
No. I can't say definitively.
Eagles?
No.
Hey.
I can't say that definitively.
What the heck?
What do you want from me? Like Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox just walked out of the door.
I'm aware.
I can't say that roster is definitively better.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned of how it's going to look.
Yeah.
So, no, you just proved the point.
I would, like I said, I think there are five rosters that I would consider better, but you said definitively.
Right, right.
There are only three that are no doubters. It's not a conversation. There are only three.
So then based on what you just said, when we learn of whatever the price is for Kirk Cousins, the sticker shock actually should not be there. Because you're saying by his arrival, assuming health, which I always, you know, obviously is a big assumption with anyone, but by his arrival, assuming health, they may be the fourth best team in the NFC with the chance to climb a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, then it's a no-brainer to make this move. I think it's a no-brainer anyway. You know, people hate on Kirk Cousins. They talk about his primetime success, his statistical success in big games, playoffs, etc. But if you just look at what he's done over the course of his career when he's a starting quarterback, his numbers when he's a starter over the course of his career are top 10 numbers in this league. And if the Atlanta Falcons can get a top 10 quarterback paired with that roster in that division, which is not the greatest division in football, to say the least, and it's different than, like, you know, the AFC South has been down a little bit, but the AFC South is real long-term hope. Trevor Lawrence and C.J. Stroud is your long-term hope, obviously. In this division, Bryce Young is your only long-term hope. Baker's there for the next 3 years, right? Derek Carr is probably in his last year as a starter in New Orleans, you would guess. So, yeah, I mean, Atlanta, it's kind of a no-brainer.
I love the Atlanta Falcons if they're able to land Kirk Cousins. They are the presumptive favorite. No matter what else happens this offseason, they are the presumptive favorite in the NFC South. I don't think there's any debate. I don't think there's any debate.
I don't think there is either. Tampa will fight you on that, but I think Kirk Cousins puts Atlanta on a different
Kirk
level.
Kirk Cousins is a better player than Baker Mayfield.
Greeny is brought to you by ESPN Bet, the official sportsbook of ESPN. What a play. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just thinking about it. They had a defense that was 11th in total defense. They've got Tyler Algier. They've got Bijan Robinson as your running backs. Kyle Pitts as your tight end. Drake London as your wide receiver. Like, you've got all the elements that you're looking for in order to have a really productive offense. I don't see how Atlanta doesn't win that division if they sign Kirk Cousins.
I think you're right. I think you're right about that. And I think that no matter what number you're going to put them at, it does not matter. It really does not matter. Coming up, will one legendary coach's legacy be tarnished if Russell Wilson is good in Pittsburgh? We'll find out here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.